and welcome back to Well Played, presented by The Skim. I'm Caroline Hendershot.
And I'm Blake Morgan. And it sounds like your voice is kind of gone this morning.
Why
I'm not
do you
gonna lie.
Like that? Why
I know, top of the episode, like I'm starting very
you're
hostile.
Just attacking.
I'm setting you up.
You are.
Because, guys, if you don't follow Caroline on Instagram, you wouldn't have known this. But
this is why you should follow us.
She got kidnapped this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Not clickbait.
Not like taking the movie, but kind of.
Yes. It happened by three women.
Yes. Three very highly skilled, very dangerous women.
Yes. Yeah, successful, beautiful, smart.
Yep. Cunning.
Funny.
Funny.
Bullies to Caroline as a child.
Absolutely. Still sometimes to this day.
Yes.
AKA my sisters. but yeah, so essentially.
Yes, tell us.
Last week, my sisters. So this had been like a month in the making, right? To my knowledge. Not to their knowledge. A month ago, my sisters were like, hey, would you mind taking off the Thursday and Friday before of this weekend so that we can come and kind of celebrate you for your wedding because you don't want a bachelorette. We're not going to like throw one for you. We just want to kind of give you a girls' weekend in New York. And I was like, ugh, fine. Because Scott was going on his bachelor trip this weekend.
Oh,
so it was like perfect timing.
Nice.
They could come in. We could take over my apartment and it would be perfect. Okay. I was like, sure, whatever. They gave me like a couple options being like, oh, do you want to eat sushi or Italian? Do you want to go see this Broadway show or this one? Do you want to go to a cocktail bar or clubbing? And I was like, I picked my choices, whatever. So I was like, so in the mindset, we're staying in New York. This is the plan.
The Broadway show thing would have thrown me off.
Totally. I was really researching some Broadway shows. I was excited. and so then Wednesday night, they both get to my apartment. We're like hanging out. We eat dinner, whatever, watching TV. Then they both start to get like weird. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then they're like, do you want to know what we're doing this weekend? And I was like, sure. They're like, you need to pack a suitcase. We're going on a trip. And I was like, what? And they're like, pack a bag. We're going somewhere warm. We're not telling you where. But like, we'll kind of give you a packing list, but we're leaving tomorrow. And I was like, tomorrow? They're like, yes, tomorrow morning, like early. So like, get it together. Let's go. So I pack a bag. My sister had ordered my clothes off of like my Rent the Runway account. She had done an order for me because she has my username
right.
and password, obviously.
Personal
so she can
stylist.
Pick out my outfits. And she did that. And said, I'm not allowed to look in the bag when it arrived on like Tuesday. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll play along. And so there are all these cute warm weather dresses when I opened it on Wednesday night when we started packing. So I pack all those, whatever. I get to the airport with them on Thursday morning. We are going through security and my other sister, Sarah, hands me my passport. And then I'm like, what the
Wait,
fuck?
We're literally leaving the country.
First of all, how did you get my passport?
Yeah.
Second of all, we're leaving the country. Third, what does that, where are we going? So then I was really thrown off because originally I was like, oh, maybe we're going to like Miami. That would be
right.
fun, girls trip, whatever. No. Grand Cayman Islands.
Crazy.
I only figured that out when we get to the gate. It was insane. And so my two sisters flew with me and then my cousin, who's my sister, I just
yeah.
call her my sister, met us down there. Beyond Gorgina, it was like sunshine, warmth, 80 plus degrees. The sun was so freaking strong. I hadn't been to the Caribbean like islands since I was probably like 3 or 4 on a family cruise. So I didn't even really remember it. Oh my God.
It looked amazing. The water was like crystal.
Fake.
Yeah.
Literally fake.
And honestly, I was watching the stories this weekend, your
mm-hmm.
sister's Instagram stories. You didn't really post. I feel like you
no,
went dark mode.
I went off the grid. Yeah.
You
I was just like, I'm going to enjoy. And.
Well, I was looking at Sarah's stories and I was just like, she didn't tell us she was going on vacation. Like,
yeah.
Because I remember last week after our recording, you and Sean were like, oh, maybe we'll meet up in the city
yes.
with my sisters. And I was like, oh, great. That's amazing. And then I was like, she's not in the city.
Yeah. She was like,
did she dupe us?
Did you feel slighted that you were like, she lied to me?
I did. I was just like, what the hell? This is not
I'm
the
sure
plan.
A lot of people felt that way. But my two friends in New York who ended up looking after Bobo, our dog, they were peeing their pants when I was saying like, oh yeah, I think we're going to a Broadway show and like, I don't know
They're
what
like,
we'll
mm-hmm.
do. And they were like, a freaking Broadway show. Oh my God.
Oh my God,
so,
this girl. Also, there was such a funny picture of you or video. I
yes.
had to like kind of click out because I didn't want too many spoilers. I
yeah.
told Caroline that I wanted to hear the full story live here.
Yes.
I have not been disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see one video your sister posted of you just like looking like a lost child in the airport.
Shook to the core.
Did not look unpleased, but you were definitely just like confused and wanted some grounding. And I made it into a sticker for inquiring minds if anybody wants it.
It's not cute. Also, I look like disheveled in the airport because it's so early. So I like really look like I'm feeling it. But yeah, it was amazing. I did say to them, like, you guys never listen to me. so I appreciate that this time when you didn't listen to me, it worked in all of our favors.
Right.
And obviously you guys know me better than I know myself. So they knew that I needed it. And, you know, that's like what sisters are for.
Oh, my God. Shout out to the Hendershot girls.
I know. I'm like so lucky. Just love them. But yeah, it was so amazing and beautiful weather. And then I came back to New York and it was garbage.
It's cold. My hands are very cold right now.
Let me feel them.
Ooh. Oh, yours are cold too.
Yeah, never mind. That was kind of romantic of us. But yeah, how was your weekend?
It was fine. I was in the suburbs. I did watch all of the basketball.
Yes.
Well, girls basketball, women's basketball.
Yeah, it was.
I watched with my dad on Friday.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, he came over and I made air fried buffalo wings.
Yum.
I made my mom's world famous oyster sauce chicken wings.
Yum.
Yeah.
Chef Boyardee over there.
So I couldn't really like lock in the first game.
That's fair.
But then I was sat for the later game.
Sat.
I was sat.
Yeah, we're going to get into all of that jazz.
All of that, yeah.
Because it was just
It was good game, lots of emotion.
Yeah.
Afterwards, so.
And then.
I want to tell our listeners about a really nice message that we got.
Oh my gosh, yes.
From a listener named Whitney.
Oh, Whitney is our queen of the week.
This has made my day.
We should anoint a queen of the week.
I love that.
Like, just like a listener little shout out or just anyone, you know?
Queen of the week. Okay, so Whitney's our queen of the week.
Okay.
And she said, I'm a huge fan of Well Played, and I wanted to thank you for making sports more accessible to me. I work at a high school, and being able to actually contribute to conversations with my mostly male students who are super into sports has been really meaningful to me, especially because I have, like, zero athleticism. I hear you. And she said, I feel like men sound like they're speaking another language when they talk about what's going on in the sports world.
Totally.
And I'm so grateful to feel like it's something I can understand and participate in. Since listening to you and Caroline.
Like, honestly, tear.
This is what the show is for, girls.
So emo.
I feel the same exact way, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's also very intimidating when people are talking about sports in a way that sounds, like, so otherworldly that you feel like you can't even ask a question because you're going to... No one likes to feel dumb.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to sound... like you're feeling or you don't want to feel like you're sounding dumb.
Yeah.
So
this is a safe space.
Yeah.
To safe ask space. The
no dumb questions.
Yeah.
No dumb questions.
They're not dumb. But I will ask them for you. Caroline will help us understand.
And vice versa.
Yeah. And that's what the show is for. So thank you, Whitney, our queen of the week.
For writing that's what our friends are for. Sorry if I clear my voice 8,000 times or clear my throat. Because
okay,
voice.
You had a long weekend.
I sound like a smoker.
Anyway, should we?
I haven't, Mom. I haven't. Don't do that. I haven't.
I haven't either. I'm a dare kid.
Oh, I'm a dare kid. what else did we, oh, you know what we talked about last week that finally came out? Cause we had like a little preview last week, Saquon Barkley on Hot Ones.
Oh,
first of all, I would be so bad at Hot Ones. I obviously would go in thinking I am so good at everything. I would be impossible to stop. And then probably by like wing four where everyone's like, oh, there's a slight kick. I'd be like,
I think I would probably be the same way, honestly.
Yeah. It's just, it's scary.
I would try
me.
It though.
Wing number eight was scary because he was like struggling with wing number eight.
I know, but he kept it pretty cool.
Yeah, cool, calm, and collected.
He just kept being like, ah.
Yeah, like literally that exact
just
kind of
noises,
reaction.
Which is fine.
I get it.
Did you have any standout moments from the episode?
I just really like him. He
Me
is
too.
Just like.
I've never just watched a full interview with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just see him at like pressers and it's totally kind of boring, whatever. But
and it's like the typical questions.
Yeah. This was cute.
This was like a little bit more of his personality. He just seems like such a little sweetie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just really thought he had like a great personality. He seemed just so sweet and fun to be around. And there was one moment where he was like, I forget the exact wording of it, but like, it's really hot. And he and Sean Evans are playing Connect Four.
Oh my God, right.
And what did he say where he was like?
He was just like, damn, this joint is hot.
Yeah. He was like, you don't feel that joint? And he was like, trust me, I feel this joint.
Right,
and
right,
Saquon
right.
like almost spit out the water he was drinking because he was like, that was crazy that you just said that.
My personal favorite moment was when he said, like, Sean Evans was asking him about, like, you know, unpopular activities that he does to keep up his athleticism in the off season.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And he was like, so what do you do in the off season that might be kind of like weird to stay in shape? And he's like, I do this thing called like animal movements where they make you walk like a gorilla. He didn't say this, but I imagine they probably make him gallop like a horse.
Yes. Oh, like
tapping what's it into the horse girls among us.
Wasn't that like a thing a couple years ago? Like the show, not show ponying, but like you literally ride like a...
Babe, I'm sure it's still ongoing. They give you a stick and yes, you ride it.
Yeah, but what's it called? There's a name.
I don't know. I literally just saw a video of it on TikTok, though.
Okay, well...
I'm sure Saquon's giddying up on that
stick. It was very booming when I was a senior in college, because I remember my friend doing it, like, mocking people, because she's not a real horse girl. She's not athletic enough to be a horse girl.
So that was one favorite thing that I learned about
him. Okay, but, like, have you ever tried to bear crawl, where, like, your hands are on the ground and your feet are on the ground, and you try and, like, crawl fast?
Is your stance wide?
Yeah.
Is that a weird question?
No.
I think I could do it.
Yeah, you
think? If we had more space, I'd give it a go right now.
And then you try it, and you're like, oh, this is actually very hard. So I actually kind of get the animal poses. I bet there's a method to the madness.
Yeah.
You know?
And it humbles you. It makes you feel like a little silly. You know?
They always need to be humbled. Come on.
Exactly. Anyway, we should get into the sports.
We really should. So make sure you're checking out our full-length video of this and every episode on YouTube. Just search for Well Played by the Skim. Or if you prefer to listen, make sure you're hitting the follow button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Yes, please. And follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
At the Skim, at CG Hendy, and at BLAAAs4KSE.
Bang! I don't think you're changing your handle. Nor should you.
It's just like not a priority right now, but
that's fine.
I digress.
All right, let's get into playing the field. A roundup of our favorite stories dominating your feeds this week.
Did you hear the new Mega Millions jackpots are going to be higher than ever?
How high?
Like really high.
As high as the top of this helipad?
Higher.
This hot air balloon is high enough, right?
Higher.
As high as this 14,000 foot mountain peak?
Still higher.
Okay, we're in space. How much higher can the Mega Millions jackpot get?
There's really no telling.
The bigger, better, new Mega Millions.
Millions!
Play today. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
At New Balance, we believe if you run, you're a runner. However you choose to do it. Because when you're not worried about doing things the right way, you're free to discover your way. And that's what running's all about. Run your way at newbalance.com/running.
We begin playing the field with a reaction to the dominant performance by the UConn Huskies.
UConn?
All right.
Come on. It's the only thing Connecticut has. Let me live.
Okay, well... congratulations, because they did win the women's Final Four.
Thank you so much.
Well, I should say the whole tournament, the March Madness tournament.
Yeah.
So they completed two historic blowouts. First was the 34-point win over top-seeded UCLA.
Who everyone thought was going to win.
Yeah. That was a tough watch.
I know.
I got a little bored by the end because they weren't on the same.
Yeah, weren't on the same.
TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that was followed by a 23-point victory over South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We know how you feel about the win. But what did you think of the performance by UConn, Ms.
I'm Caroline? Just like, I freaking love them, because I feel like Gino Auriemma gave them a speech before this whole tournament and was like, everyone doesn't think you can do it. Like no one thinks that you're going to win it. So go out there and show them why you belong. And don't just like go and win. Go and blow each team out of the water. And they freaking did it. And it was just like chef's kiss, iconic. Paige Beckers and Gino hugging at the end, like sobbing and saying I love you to each other, legitimately brought me to tears.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm obsessed with these two.
I fear that that moment like healed the daddy issues of many among us.
100%.
Like it was so tender.
So tender. Just like so genuine too, because I was just like, there is something special about a male collegiate like coach for a female team.
Yeah.
Because, and maybe I'm just like bringing up my own experience, but like they just have like a team of daughters, mm-hmm. it ends up being. And like, they'll give you shit and they'll be hard on you when they need to, but they love you to pieces and they like want the best for you. And I was just like, oh, I love them so much.
Okay, sorry, not about UConn, but I remember the Texas coach, I forget his name.
Yes.
He said that thing where he's just like, these girls, they probably don't even, you know, think of me when they leave the court, but like to me, they're my entire world. Yep. I was like, oh my God, so sweet, protecting at all cost.
I know.
I know, the trifecta between Paige,
yep,
AZ Fudd and Sarah Strong. God, gorgeous.
Unbelievable. Did you see Izzy's face when Holly Rowe was like, oh, Sarah Strong had 11 rebounds in the first half. She was like,
no, I didn't.
It was incredible.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to have seen Paige and Izzy do so well, because I know that their careers have been just riddled with injuries. Yes. And I remember a couple episodes ago, mm-hmm. you called it. You were mm-hmm. just like, these two, like, we don't know what's coming now that they're both healthy. Like, they're just going to be unstoppable.
Here
and
we go.
You called it. You literally called it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate you remembering that, because I forgot it, but that's what you're for.
Yeah. But yeah, congrats to the Huskies, though, because they haven't won since 2016.
I know. And Gino was saying, like, every time I get to this point, I'm, like, ready to retire. And then I reach a Final Four, and I'm like, okay, I can coach for 5 more years. And I'm like, I get it.
He's been coaching for 40 years, I heard.
Insane.
And did you know he shares something in common with your mom?
What?
Gino.
Are they both Italian stallions?
Listen, not okay. just that. They both came to America via boat from Italy.
Oh, my God.
He came here via freaking boat.
My mom and Gino.
Yeah.
One and the same.
And then Connecticut. I mean, there's
a lot of connections. Maybe
so many
Gino's
connections.
Related to me in some way or another.
Yeah. He was also, not going to lie, like, I saw pictures of younger Gino, and I would.
Oh, okay. There it is. Isn't he like 70 now?
I said younger Gino.
Okay.
And he's still a good-looking older
man.
I'm
just letting you know. All right. He also had some inspiring words to say after the game near the tail end of his press conference. We should take a listen, because they're amazing.
Before I leave here, though, I do have to say this. And not just because it's women's basketball, but I've been to these Final Fours for 24 years. This is the most women I've ever seen at a press conference since I started this 40 years ago. And I'm just really, really proud of you all. Really.
Okay, I'm just like obsessed with him. The appreciation for the women that he has. I'm just like, I love you.
We love you, Gino.
Yeah.
But he also actually put the NCAA on blast this weekend, and he called out the disparities in the men's and women's sports. At one point, he said, quote, "We finished Monday night and we play Friday. The guys finish Sunday and they play Saturday. But we're in this for the student athletes." No, you're not. No, you're not. You're in it for everything but the student athletes. So he was calling out like their scheduling, right? Mm-hmm. Because the women had less time to recover mm-hmm. between games. They're also like crossing the country.
I wrote down like the entire quote, because I was just like, it's like a 3-minute video on mm-hmm. Twitter. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely go try and look it up. But it's really, really well done, because it is the same sentiment that I have been saying since I was in college, that the NCAA, just be honest about what you are. You don't care about the student athlete, because if you did care about the actual student athlete, you would run things differently, and particularly the women's side. And Gino was just like, I'm going to call it like I see it, because I love that he said one of the biggest differences between how men and women's basketball is being run today is you have true basketball people making basketball decisions on the men's side. And the only people that know that are schools who have been to multiple men and women's Final Fours and can sit there and list you the differences. And I was like, yes.
Mic drop moment.
Yeah, he was incredible. So it's just like, this is, I think, a point that a lot of people don't realize, that essentially back in 2023, they changed the format of the women's Sweet 16 and Elite Eight from 4 regional sites, like the men's mm-hmm. side is, to only 2. So this year,
why would they do
the
that?
2 sites were in Washington and Alabama.
Literally
across the country. And they said they did it because they wanted more people to come to the events. Wouldn't 4 events make it more people? Mm. You would think.
Yeah.
No. And Gino was like, you want to know why they did it? They're cutting costs. Mm. That's why. And they didn't do it on the men's side. And so UConn made 2 cross-country trips and played 4 games in 9 days, while on the men's side, a few teams played 4 games over 13 days. So, like, oh, don't give me that BS.
Yeah.
I freaking hate when you try and say that you're doing something for a reason that isn't the truth. Just be honest.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
I also heard that, like, the site for the women's games are going to remain unchanged until I think 2031. I need a fact check on that, which is unfortunate, because I think the capacity for those stadiums are so much smaller than the men's game. So it's like, you can't even bring in the mm-hmm. newer fans that might, you know, next year be interested in the games, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And in the future too, as the sport grows for women.
And it's like, I understand that women's sports and men's sports are different. I'm not saying that everything should be equal across the board. Like we would bust to Tennessee.
From Michigan?
You betcha, baby.
How?
Over 12 hours. And the Michigan hockey team would fly everywhere. And it's just like, okay. And so, like, I get it. There's differences.
Right,
whatever.
Right.
That's fine. But the bigger thing is, like, he said when Sedona Prince put out a video in, like, 2020, actually maybe it was 2019. I don't know. It was like a couple years ago. Everybody lost their mind. He was like, I've been here 24 times.
Can you refer to the video?
Yes. It's
what is that?
It's a video that she put out in like 2019 or so. And it's a video of her being like, here's the women's weight room at the biggest tournament in women's college basketball. Right. And it is literally a rack of dumbbells. And she's like, and here's the men's. And it's like, and when I mean like a rack of dumbbells, I mean like four sets of dumbbells. And then she goes, here's the men's side. And it's like full blown squatting racks. Oh my God. It's like, there's 15 of them in this massive space. And she goes, they said that it's because of space restrictions that the women didn't have that. And then she shows all this empty space. And it's just like night and day versus what you're willing to invest in women's sports. Whatever. We don't even have to like go into that. But he was like, I've been here 24 times. I didn't even know there were weight rooms at the Final Four. So like, it's just annoying.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. So yeah, that's all I have to say about that. But this rant came just days before a U.S. district court was set to hold a hearing on the $2.8 billion settlement the NCAA is expected to pay out later this year. However, based on what took place in the hearing Monday, college sports could be reshaped completely going forward. What's included? $2.8 billion as back pay for athletes who competed starting in 2016 and who didn't have the chance to get NIL money.
Does that mean you're going to get a payday?
Yes, me rowing millions of dollars coming my way. No, but like apparently football and basketball players are expected to get up to six figures in back pay, while athletes like swimming, soccer,
rowing,
would probably only get a couple $100. I'm pretty sure like I did the application and they were like, you're not eligible.
You're like, babes, it's not worth
it. Got it.
Okay, but I heard that aside from back paying athletes like yourself, this settlement that we're talking about could also pave the way for like schools to actually just pay athletes directly. Right.
Yeah. Because essentially they're just like, NIL has taken a world of its own. Mm-hmm. And so now they're like, okay, if a school gets like a donation from donors, then they could use that money to like pay the athletes directly kind of thing. Because there's no longer a link between the athlete and the school. It's more so just like the athlete getting their NIL deals outside of the school.
Okay, so do you think this is going to make athletes happy to be paid directly by their university?
I think they should be getting both. I think they should be getting compensated. Oh, and I'm going to try not to get heated about this, but I will try my best. They should be compensated by the school for what they're bringing in. And they should also be compensated by like NIL deals that they're able to sign on their own accord. Mm-hmm. If people say that a full ride or free tuition or whatever it is your compensation, you are wrong. That is not compensation. That is because you are making more than just what you get in a free ride. Like athletes are making millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So like respect the value that they bring to college athletics. So don't give me that bullshit argument because I fucking hated when people said that. Like that would drive me crazy.
I feel the heat coming off of Caroline's skin.
This drives me crazy because you know what? Like the NCAA says, oh, we care about student athletes. We care about student athletes. And it's like, you don't just admit it. Like JJ Watt said that at some point the NCAA needs to drop the student first, athlete second charade. Billions of dollars, NIL, transfer portal, traveling cross country for midweek games. Education is not the main focus. Yeah. Admit it and call it what it is. A business, run it as such. Mm-hmm. That is the truth. Just be upfront with what you're doing. And like my biggest thing, and then I will get off my soapbox, I promise.
I like this.
Is that there was a commercial in 2019 that the NCAA dropped. I made you watch it.
I did.
Ahead of the episode. I didn't tell you why though. They portray the life, a day in the life of a student athlete as the most BS thing I've ever seen. He wakes up, he goes to class, he goes for a little jog, then he goes to practice, then he goes to the library, and then he goes to bed. You missed the morning practice. You missed the like 6 hours of classes. You miss the afternoon practice that's last 4 hours. Then you have to go eat dinner. Then you have to shower. Then you have to go back to the library to study. Then you have to stay up all night studying because you have a test the next day. And then you have to also get up before that test the next day and go back to practice. And oh, maybe you're getting drug tested that day too. So then you have to pee before you go to your test and the whole charade. So it's just like, don't give me the BS.
I'm going to need you to direct the updated version of the NCAA's student athlete.
Yeah, you're missing like getting screamed at by your coach. Like, come on, I got all of it for you. So it's just like, ugh, I'm so over it. But The Monday night update from the whole settlement was that it's going to be delayed by at least a week. So yeah, we'll have to keep
an eye on
it.
We're going to keep following the story because it seems like it's going to, I read that it's going to shake up the amateurism model that's been governing college sports for over 100 years. That's mm-hmm. kind of wild.
And it's just like what Gino said. I think Gino and I really are related because he's been like
your mom and him are on the same boat.
Yeah,
it's his brother.
No, literally, because like he's been saying what I have been saying since college days, but he just articulated it much better than I ever could.
All right, well, the college basketball season is officially over. RIP. Yeah, so I know. Crazy, but it definitely doesn't mean rest and relaxation time for the girls.
No.
Especially for outgoing stars like Paige Becker, because she's probably going to be the number one pick, right?
100%.
Yeah. And the WNBA draft is actually next Monday.
Yes. It's going to take place in New York City, and we're going to be there.
We're going to be there. We got approved to go. Yay.
That was so painful.
I'm nervous, guys. I'm so nervous, honestly.
I know, me too. I really want to see Paige Beckers, but I'm like, if I see her, I think I might be a deer in headlights. In the best way possible.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll figure it out.
I'll give her a little leave from afar.
Maybe a kiss.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Also, though, in case you missed it, our listeners at least. So Eli Lilly actually also sponsored the first ever women's college all-star combine.
Yes.
Featuring dozens of the best college players looking to go pro who got a chance to compete in front of WNBA scouts before the draft. I had no idea that they didn't already have a combine.
I know, because like the NFL combine is so big.
Right.
That you're like, oh, every sport must have one. Exactly. We just don't hear about it. Nope. Yeah.
My God.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
It was held the night before women's March Madness final. And everyone wore the number 99 to represent that if you get early screening done for breast cancer, you are 99% more likely to survive because you'll catch it early. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I just love when you invest in women in the right way. They invested in women by giving them a combine. And then they also invested in women by being like, hey, like invest in yourself.
Right.
Make sure you're checking out.
I like it when a company does it in a way that makes sense and doesn't feel like performative. Like this is exactly, you know, the angle that they 100%. Should be entering this through.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And they also actually offered free mammograms, I think, outside the March Madness games.
Yeah, like need that because a lot of people are just like, oh, you know, I don't have the time or whatever. It's like, boom, here it is.
No.
Yeah.
Get screened.
Yep.
Protect your health.
Save the tatas. Okay, the presumed top pick for the Dallas Wings, obviously expected to be Paige Beckers. But who else is on the short list for the number two pick, my dear?
So we should say the Seattle Storm,
yes.
Number two pick. Three names that I've seen floating around. Sonia Citrom from Notre Dame, Dominique Malanga from France, and Anissa Morrow from LSU.
Okay.
I have a soft spot for the Frenchie, personally.
Okay.
Just because French speaker, French lover. Lover of the culture.
Lover of the culture.
Lover of the culture. She's also so young. She's 19 years old. And she played for the Olympic team in France last year.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I was intrigued by Sonia Citron out of Notre Dame because like Notre Dame didn't have a big tournament, I feel like. So I was kind of surprised by that. But I
also
feel like
her teammate, Olivia Miles, I believe, was
yes.
She was like,
she
presumed
her name.
To be the second
draft pick. You're
but
right.
She was like, I'm going to chill here for
and
a bit.
And also like Haley Van Lith, that's like a big name to me. She like wasn't in the top three. I don't know why I'm like so like hung up on that, but maybe it's just because her name was so popular
and so around.
Yeah, but we shall see.
In less than a week, guys. We'll come back next week and give you some updates.
Yes, we will. Moving on with playing the field, we shift from women's basketball to men's, and the men's championship concluded last night, actually, with a 65-63 win.
Oh my God.
By Florida over Houston. Nail biter. But the big story was actually from the weekend and the total collapse in the final 2 minutes of the semifinal by, unfortunately, the Duke Blue Devils.
Right.
So sorry, boys. And the presumed number one overall draft pick, Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. Despite trailing 64-55, Houston outscored Duke 15-3 over the final 2 minutes. It was crazy. Final 2 minutes and change. And Cooper Flagg failed to score the go-ahead basket on a turnaround jumper as the final seconds are just ticking down.
Tough.
Where was Troy Bolton when we needed him most?
Oh my God, so true.
You know?
Like, truly. He would have made that shot.
he would have made that shot.
And then he would have been like, Troy! Like, well, Gabriella from the stands. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I just find it so interesting because Houston, like, they are known for their insane conditioning. Their average mile time for their team 5 minutes and 19 seconds.
I can't breathe.
Disgusting.
I literally can't breathe.
That actually makes me want to puke thinking about it.
Like the whole team can run that, basically.
Yes. Like they're probably all sub six. Like insane. Insane. So I actually think that was a big part of those last 2 minutes.
Right, because you had, they were just
all that conditioning all pays off. Court, yeah. That's when you're like, oh, all those sprints that my coach made me run, I guess he was actually right and not just torturing me for fun. So I don't think that this will haunt Cooper Flagg if he goes to the NBA and is successful in the NBA. I do think it will haunt him if he isn't successful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they'll just pull that clip all the time if he, like, chokes again.
It'll probably personally haunt him for some time.
For sure.
Hope he got some sleep. He's also so young. He's, like, 18, I think.
I know.
He was born in 2006. That makes me feel old.
That's disgusting. Yep. Oh my God.
Sure enough.
But also, like, you know, it's the yips. They call the
yips.
The yips. It's like in sports when you try too hard, you almost like psych yourself out. Oh. And then you legitimately, it's the same thing as the twists or the twisties that Simone Biles had. It's like you get two in your head and it's a legitimate thing where your muscle memory just like doesn't do what you know it to do. So you like, quote unquote, choke, or you.
It's like me when I'm at karaoke.
Exactly. You get the yips. You're overthinking
sometimes
it.
Sometimes I think I know the words and I don't.
Well, yeah, don't we all, you know? but yeah, I think he'll bounce back and I think he'll be okay. But just, yeah, tough loss. Tough loss.
Okay, next up on Playing the Field, Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, obviously gearing up for the draft and continuing to build their team through free agency. But according to general manager Howie Roseman, players who commit acts of violence against women won't even be considered for a roster spot.
Yes, during an interview this week on Todd McShay's podcast, Roseman said, quote, "Violence against women, it's just not for us. I won't even watch them. I don't even want to talk about them. It's just a deal breaker for us. So I can't go, he's really good and did it 10 years ago and he learned from it. It just doesn't work for us." Okay, obviously it's like, love Howie Roseman. Like that was A plus by him. How are we saying this and like commending someone for saying it? Also like a little bit of the problem. But I think the fact that more people aren't talking about it is the craziest part.
Right.
Because it's like, I was trying to like rack my brain. Like, why is that? Like he said something really impactful. He was like, we have a standard. We don't change that standard. I don't care if you're the number one freaking pick and we have the number one pick and we can pick anyone we want. If you have committed violence against women, we're not even watching your freaking tape.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, hell yeah. I love when people are like really set on their standard. But I'm like, did it not blow up as much because it's like, the viewership is mostly male, or like because a lot of commentators are male, or like do they just not get how impactful that is?
Yeah. I also love how he said it's just not for us. Like, is it for, does this mean that it's for other teams in the NFL? Like, are
I'm sure that's an excuse that people come up with in their head, like how they said, oh, it was 10 years ago, he's changed, he's learned from that, like that kind of thing. And he's like, no, if you've done it at all, we're not messing with you.
Yeah. I know it's kind of just crazy that he had to even say out loud that abusers don't belong in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we even tolerating this? It's 2025.
Of course.
I do appreciate him saying it out loud. I guess like, from your perspective, when, because it's obvious, like there are abusers in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Point blank. So when those people exist in these locker rooms, like what happens to the culture of a team? Because I think that you can rationalize it kind of like by what he's saying, like, oh, I don't care. You know, he's number one in the league, let's say.
Right.
But that change, just because he's like really great on the field, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have impacts
100%
on the team.
Yeah. And it's like also not for nothing, but like something could happen off the field while you're in season and that could throw like your entire season for a loop. So I just think, yeah, that is part of why the Philadelphia Eagles like culture is so strong is because of the standard. Like that's set from the top down.
Yeah.
It literally starts at the top down and you can't like change it if the GM believes one thing and the coach believes another. It's like the culture has to be
solid.
Everyone has to buy in. And so the fact that they're like, listen, it's not even like we're forcing everyone to buy in. It's like everyone here falls in this standard. So like you're not even, you don't have to buy into it. It's just what you believe in.
Yeah.
So
there's like no exception.
Exactly. And I just, yeah, I just appreciated it. And it's just like, okay, a lot of GMs and head coaches and players have wives and daughters and sisters. And it's like, let's just for a moment all have the standard that Howie Roseman has.
Well said.
Yeah.
Put a bow on that.
Yeah. Very, very good
thank
boy.
Thank you, Howie Roseman.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Continuing on with playing the field, in case you missed it this week, New Orleans Saints defensive tackle Kalen Saunders announced he'll be starting a new LGBTQ-friendly youth football camp this summer.
I loved this story.
King.
He said, quote, being an ally is more than just saying I support, but it's also showing up. Being in the NFL is very male dominant and heterosexual dominant, and it feels as though there's not really a space for the LGBTQ community.
Saunders, whose brother all of my fellow Swifties will know, Cameron Saunders, made headlines during this season because he's one of Taylor Swift's most impressive backup dancers and said he was proud to partner with GLAAD and the NFL Pride Football Combine with the goal of making football more inclusive. He announced his camp, which kicks off July 5th, alongside former Dallas Cowboys player R.K. Russell, who came out as bisexual in 2019.
Love this. We need more inclusivity in football.
Please.
Point blank, period.
Please.
Girls, gays, theys, please. All of it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Football's for everyone. All right. Let's close it out with one more. In case you missed it, we have to talk about it. Alexander Ovechkin. He finally made history by breaking Wayne Gretzky's NHL record for career goals. And get this, it's crazy. He reached 895 goals, one more than Gretzky in exactly 1,487 games, which also happens to be the exact number of games Gretzky played in his career.
That's crazy.
Insane. It was
God.
It was meant
to be. He
said,
that's my twin. Twin, yeah. Where have you been?
Yeah, you really did.
Okay, Gretzky shared a memory from hockey legend Gordie Howe, who told Gretzky, I am proud of you, after he broke the record. Mm. Following that accomplishment, his father, Walter Gretzky, shared some words of wisdom, which I love. He said, quote, my dad told me that same night, be as proud of the guy that breaks your record.
Isn't that so sweet?
That is like
dad advice of like the freaking century. I was like, okay, yeah, what a great way to make sure like you raise a humble king.
Yes, I love that quote.
Yeah, amazing. And also his celebration, he like belly dived and was just like penguin sliding on the ice. I was like, you are a child at heart and I love it.
That's so cute.
And Budweiser sent celebratory cans to goalies who did not get scored on by Ovi at any point in their careers, which is like iconic.
That is so, so funny.
Curtis Joseph took a pic with his and was like, two shots, zero goals. Congrats to the legend or something like that. And
That's
it was amazing. Just perfect. Yeah.
All right, guys, it's time for a round of Send It. So as always, Send It features our favorite viral moments from the week that you should be sending to your group chat. These are literally the things that Caroline will send us at like 9 p.m. before bed because grandma, obviously.
Grandma, I'm scrolling on my phone in bed.
Scroll before bed. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot to cover this week because there's just so much good stuff happening in sports.
So much.
So normally we do four. This week we're going to do eight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but let us know if you like it, you know? Give us a little feedback.
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Ever go on a date so bad you need an everything shower? Luckily for you, Billy makes products for that. A loofah full of nourishing body wash can scrub off the cringe from that extremely awkward hug. A full body shave with Billy's award-winning razor will remind you what going smoothly actually feels like. And hydrating body lotion can delete dryness faster than you can delete the dating apps. You've got your reasons. Billy's got your routine. Shop in-store and at mybilly.com.
Caroline, you can go first.
Okay, so the most prestigious golf tournament on the planet, the Masters, starts on Thursday.
I didn't know what the Masters were.
Oh! Oh! Ow! Oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, okay, is it a, you know, congregation of people with master's degrees? I don't know.
I hope everyone just heard my moment of silence because that was
probably the quietest Caroline's ever been.
Motherfucking volumes.
I'm sorry. Okay, but listen. There are others who are like me who didn't know what the Masters were,
okay,
I'm sure.
Okay, yes, you're right. And also, I will say, I feel like golf has become more popular as of late because of Full Swing and like really getting to know the golf personalities.
Okay.
And golf is fun. Golf is for everyone. Wow, that's a fun rhyme.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, so reigning champ Scottie Scheffler played a practice round at Augusta with his mom this week, which
was
just like
cute.
So cute. The pictures were so sweet.
They shared a lot of like high fives together.
Yeah, love
too.
It was really cute. And I'm just a sucker for a cute like father daughter mother son.
Wait,
sweet
why did
moment.
He bring her?
So at Augusta, when you're doing the practice rounds, you can bring anyone if you're playing in the tournament. So a lot of people like in years past have gone kind of viral because Bubba Watson brought his daughter and she was sinking like 10-foot putts and it was like kind of crazy. She was like five and she's just
so
like
cute.
Sinking putts and everyone was freaking out. So you can bring whoever you want. And so he brought his mom, so sweet. And he also shared the annual dinner menu he prepared. So let me explain that when you win the Masters, the next year, when you win the Masters, a bunch of things happen, right? Like you're granted like access to come back to the Masters for life. Like that is a privilege that you have. Like you secure that. You also get to choose the Champions Dinner, which happens the Tuesday before the Masters starts on Thursday. So tonight, and you get to choose the menu, but you also foot the bill. But like everyone's kind of like, I mean, you win a lot of money from the Masters, so right. It's fine. But like, everyone's kind of like, you know what? I will pay it because like, I'm a Masters champion, baby. And like, you get the green jacket, all of these like cute, iconic things. But his Masters menu was like cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp, his dad's meatballs and ravioli bites, Texas style chili, cowboy's ribeye, blackened redfish. And then he had a warm chocolate cookie skillet for dessert, which I really appreciated out of him. What would your Master's dinner menu be?
Mine would be a little more bougie than this, I fear.
I love that.
Okay, so I was
thinking, footing the bill, but it's okay.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm down with it. I actually wrote it down so I didn't forget. So my appetizer would be a little gem salad with panko breadcrumbs.
Love panko.
Toasted in brown butter and like walnuts.
Oh my
God. Toasted walnuts. My main course would be a slutty spaghetti with short rib ragu. Do you like the alliteration I just included?
You're going to blow mine out of the water. Yeah. This is incredible.
With love. Like it's just like the most decadent, velvety, like that short rib has been going for hours.
Okay, love.
You know?
And like a spaghetti noodle.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, perfectly cooked, al dente. And I would hire the best chefs so that they knew to not overcook that goddamn pasta because I'm not tolerating
that. I'll cook it.
And then for dessert, I kind of kept it boring. I was just like chocolate mousse because then they could like come over with a scoop of it and just bah.
Ooh, okay. Right on the plate. You went like very foodie because you are a foodie.
Right.
I went more so like what speaks to me.
I'm sure it's going to speak to me too.
Okay, I hope so. So my appetizer would probably be coconut shrimp and crispy rice.
I love that.
Okay. Bear with me. We're going to pivot cuisines. Main course, chicken parm with angel hair pasta.
Ew.
First of all, shut your mouth.
Oh my God.
Don't disrespect my favorite pasta.
I feel so disrespectful to
No, you're disrespectful.
People in Italy.
Okay. No. I am Italian. Okay. Dessert. Carvel ice cream cake with a Reese's shape on the side.
Preferably
an egg shape because those are the best shape.
Oh, you are a Reese's shape enthusiast.
I freaking love Reese's shapes. I could go on a tangent. I'm not going to. But anyways, that would be my menu.
I like yours.
I like yours too.
Yeah, they're different vibes, but both good.
I hate how you disrespected angel hair pasta, but go past it.
Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. Okay, in the golf world though, this is my send it. So there is this pro golfer. His name is Ryan McCormick, and apparently he has anger problems when he golfs. And he's been pretty open about it. Like, this is not a secret.
Yeah.
His anger problems get so mad that he'll like yell. He'll sometimes yell curses, or he'll just like be like, oh, you know, like shit like that. Like, just like being all rats.
Drama.
Yeah. Big drama queen. So in an effort to quiet down, he literally said, I need to shut the fuck up. And so he took scotch tape and taped his mouth shut.
Also, scotch tape, interesting choice. That's really not stopping anyone.
I know.
But it's desperate like, times call for desperate measures. Tape. Yeah, please.
And like, I don't need to see your lips pressed up against that.
Or packing tape. I don't know anything.
Scotch tape.
I mean, literally every man should have to do this when they aren't playing well because I feel like men are drama on the golf course.
I need men in my gym to actually adopt this method because I can't take the moaning.
Yeah.
I can't.
Please. It's not that heavy. Please.
It's not. And it's not that serious. Relax.
Also that.
He said it's not a permanent thing either, though. So this is not, we're not, probably not going to see this again.
Okay. But do you think that he was like secretly left his mouth tape on from the night before because he just wanted a snatched jawline? Because like, I respect
He took notes from Ashton Hall, my April Fool of the Week last week.
Exactly.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So.
But he also did say, I hope my fellow golfers can find some humor and comfort knowing that us pros also struggle with the mental challenges that the game throws at you.
Well, like Scottie Scheffler in Full Swing, his caddy was saying that he almost didn't want to work with him initially because Scottie Scheffler used to have anger issues, and he was like,
what's up with these golfers?
And he was like, I'll fix it, and then became like a completely different person.
Oh.
And now he and his caddy are on like the run of the cinch.
All right, so it sounds like Ryan McCormick maybe just needs to go to therapy.
Yeah, probably. I mean, don't every man.
All right.
I mean, duh. Okay, so Travis Kelce, this is my next one. Travis Kelce reacted to a mural of Jesus Christ himself that looks, honestly, shockingly like him. And so New Heights fans of the podcast were sending in Travis Kelce lookalikes. The first one that they sent in was a Milwaukee Brewers player, Bryce Terang, I hope I'm saying that right, who I was like, oh my God, that's actually Travis's twin. Like, they looked so similar. And then he showed this mural of my boy Jesus Christ, and he legit looked like Travis with longer, wavier hair, but he was also doing like the Zoolander blue steel look, like the...
No!
Yeah, I'm not kidding. And it was like, I was like, who painted that? But... yeah, it was just, Travis was like, I do not look like that. And Jason was like, yes, you do. But yeah, it's just really impressive what people will find. I know you said that I look like Alison Stoner. I don't see it.
Oh my God.
I think because her features aren't as dark as mine.
Yeah.
So I don't see it.
But you're wrong.
Okay.
And there are people I know who agree with me because they even told us on Spotify. Like these people left Spotify comments. Like, who's leaving Spotify?
I actually didn't know you could do that.
You can. And people do occasionally leave them on our episodes. And two people said, oh my God, I looked up Caroline and she does look like Alison Stoner.
That's crazy. I don't see it.
You never see it in you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I know. But okay. So then we were talking about dog doppelgangers, you know, like how everyone looks like a dog. Okay, this is who I thought Sean, our producer Sean, looks like. This is a Rhodesian,
Wait, you think he looks like that, or he like acts like that?
Kind of both. You know, it's okay. Just like it's like his vibe. It's like
see that.
A taller dog.
Yes,
I think the khaki made me think of his outfit when he wore khaki on khaki last week. For you, I was thinking you kind of give Collie.
I'll take it.
But then you also kind of give Akita.
I like the Akita.
Yeah. And so I'm like into that for you.
Mm.
Anyways, what's mine?
Fuck. I didn't come prepared.
Okay. Next
Do
week.
Do you have a pitch? Okay, next fine. Week. Next week. I'll next come week. Prepared.
Don't
Hold me to that.
Don't use Sean as your scapegoat. My God.
Okay, so from one Kelsey to another, yes. Jason Kelsey had some great comments about whether it's easier to give childbirth or block for a season worth of tush pushes.
Mm-hmm.
Former NFL QB Ryan Fitzpatrick asked him the question on Twitter,
yep.
To which Jason smartly responded
yes.
That he said, oh man, hate to say it, but it isn't even close. I'll take an entire career of tush pushes over giving birth. Fuck that. He knew better than to say tush pushes were... like preferable
more grueling,
to him.
Yes. Yeah, than childbirth.
And like, even if he genuinely believed that
he would rather do the childbirth, he was smart enough to not
exactly.
Say
exactly. Yeah. Thank you for I couldn't like figure out how to phrase
I
it.
I knew what you were saying. I just wish that men could feel the true pain of a period, because like when I did the period machine thing with Scott, you know, like the fake sensation.
Where did you get that?
Amazon. obviously. He was like tapping out at level like 6. And I was like, no, what? Keep going. And I like went up to like 12 or 15. And I was like, oh yeah, this is what like a really bad cramp feels like. And it's obviously like a little different of a sensation, yeah. But they freak out. And I'm like, hello.
God, I want to borrow that.
Welcome to my world. But it did make me a little scared about childbirth. But it's fine. It's fine. You won't feel it. Epidural.
You won't feel a thing.
Yeah, totally. Okay. The other one that I have to talk about. Bill Belichick teamed up with Lil Wayne. It's the craziest thing ever, saying those two names in the same sentence. At UNC for the most random collab you will ever see. So Lil Wayne and Bill Belichick took a picture at practice for the UNC football like Instagram. Uh-huh. And like Lil Wayne's kind of like arm around Bill. And I'm just like, these two men are the opposite ends of the spectrum. And it's like the epitome of your dad trying to like stay hip and young. And like, you know, he learns like one phrase and then he says it all the time kind of thing.
Well, we know who put him up to it.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. His girlfriend, 100%.
Miss Jordan Hudson.
Miss Jordan. She 1000% was like, I am in charge of your social media now, because mm-hmm. She CC'd on every email. And I want Lil Wayne to come to practice. And she set that up.
So random.
So random.
They also gave him a jersey that says Tunchi. That's like his catchphrase, right?
Tunchi.
Tunchi. Now she want a photo.
Yeah, exactly.
Now he want a photo. Now he want already a photo. Know, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Blake, great. Great
Thank
call.
You. I'm quick. Okay. Next, send it. We only got a couple more guys. Stay with us.
Yeah.
So the US,
good. They're good.
Yes. The US men and women's soccer team hosted Brazil at SoFi Stadium in LA this past weekend. And there seemed to be a very stark contrast of attendance between the men's game, the US men's national team game, yeah. And the US women's national team
game. If you're
game.
Watching the video, I want to put up the picture right now, because it's just like night
yeah.
and day.
Yeah, it is. So in the women's game, you can see that the stadium is basically packed on all the levels. Men's game, however.
A lot of empty seats.
A lot of empty seats.
It's not like we didn't already know this.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the women's game actually brought out more than 32,000 people to watch. And The men's game, well, I tried looking for attendance numbers, but they literally weren't reported anywhere.
They were like, sorry, we actually can't release that number.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
I was like looking for the official documentation from the U.S. Website, and I couldn't find it.
They said, we're hiding that, thanks.
Yeah, so probably was a snooze fest. I did not watch.
Yeah. Okay, the other one that I have. Caitlin Clark was invited to speak alongside Serena Williams and Eli Manning at the NFL league meetings a couple weeks ago. And she jokingly was like, oh, yeah, I would be a two-sport athlete. Like, maybe in 2028 Olympics, I would do two sports, like flag football, because I always grew up with, like, my dad, my grandfather were, like, in the football world, were coaches, whatever. And I always wish I had flag football growing up, because I would have played it and I would have been so good at it, whatever. And she was like, maybe if basketball doesn't work out, I'll go to flag football. Okay, then Scott Hollenbeck, the CEO of USA Football. Scott, you're doing too much. Poor Scott, my fiance probably hears that all the time. He explicitly stated that Clark would need to, quote, earn her spot through the same rigorous tryout process as any other athlete.
Okay, chill out, Scott.
We know, Scott.
Go with the flow. Literally take that stick that's up there. You know where.
Take it out.
Just pull it out.
And throw it away.
You might relax a little bit.
It might be better for everyone.
Your personal relationships. Caitlin Clark.
Just relax.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Okay. Last end of the day. This Phillies player.
This was so cute.
Yeah. He played a part. I should know his name, but I didn't because I just cared about the story. Oh, his name is Bryson Stott. Excuse me. So he plays for the Phillies. And he played a part in his friend's baby's gender reveal. And he did
but
it with...
like subtle...
I was going to say, he did it with pizzazz.
Tasteful.
And class. Mm-hmm. And he simply... all he did was he wore a pink armband on him during the Phillies game against the Dodgers this past weekend. And I just thought it was so tasteful.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, you actually don't need to blow up fireworks and start forest fires.
Crazy concept.
You don't even need to, like, make a cake with frosting.
Similar to, like, being anti-bachelorette, I'm also anti-gender reveal.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
No. We don't need all that. No. I mean, like, no shade to anybody in our audience who's done it. But
I'm
like,
extra. I'm just not that extra, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm just...
I like to like that. So, also, actually, I should... this is a good moment for me to offer our services. If you are having a baby and want to do your gender reveal here on Well Played.
Oh my God, that would be so fun.
We can wear, we'll coordinate.
Yes, and we won't even tell anyone. We'll just show up.
Just have your partners reach out to us on Instagram.
Yeah, my DMs are open.
Our DMs.
Blake's are also open for other things. I'm just kidding.
We'd love to play a part.
Yeah, would love that. It would be beautiful.
Yeah.
Heartwarming. Good for the soul.
Okay, we have a lot of sentences to pick from this week in terms of what our favorites were. What was yours?
Because they were like legitimately what I was sending and you were sending me this whole week. Gosh, I don't know. I would probably have to say that it's going to be the Masters. Scottie Scheffler playing with his mom, because I'm just pumped about the Masters.
Okay. I'm going to pick the pro golfer who taped his mouth shut.
Yeah. One of the same. You know,
more men need to take golf. This lesson.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? When Scott, if Scott and I are golfing, my fiance Scott, not Scottie Scheffler, my other good friend.
I don't think anyone was confused.
My other good friend. If one of us starts being cranky, I'm going to threaten that person with scotch tape. Yeah, but specifically scotch tape.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll be back in studio next Tuesday with another episode. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, the whole shebang. You know how it goes. Until next time, thanks for listening to Well Played.
The only podcast in the league of its own.